Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We have told our faculty members that for the most part, every class, to the extent possible, should be delivered remotely if it can be. And there'll be a few options for purely in-person classes and a greater number for some kind of hybrid solution. But really, for the vast majority of students, if they want to have a remote environment for the fall, they'll be able to do that.
Hi, everybody. I'm Fran Spielman. With us today is Luke Figuera, Senior Associate VP and Chief Risk and Compliance Officer for Northwestern University, my alma mater. Hi, Luke. How are you?
Hey, Frank. Good. How are you?
I'm good. 49 years ago, believe it or not, my mom and I flew to Chicago from our home in New Jersey. She dropped me off at Allison Hall at Northwestern. A few tears were shed. We hugged. We kissed goodbye. And I began my freshman year at Northwestern. For your incoming freshmen, this is going to be a very different kind of year than that.
It will. It's going to be different for all of us. I think all the universities are trying to work towards the fall that is creating a healthy environment where we can. But it's going to be a different experience, especially for those first years as they step foot on college campus for the first time.
You are in charge of the logistics for that very difficult transition. How is it going?
I think it's going okay. I think there's a lot that goes into it. It is, as I've said to others, it's really forcing our entire institution, but not just Northwestern, the entire industry, I would say, to rethink everything that we do. We have to, from move-in through dining, every single thing that has been kind of the core of our operations needs to change for a period of time. And there's a lot that goes into that. So I think, Northwestern's still about 4.5 weeks away from that move-in period really beginning in earnest. And there's a lot of work still left to do, but we continue to move forward and again, try to put these last pieces together.
Northwestern is offering its students a choice of remote or on-campus learning. Tell us about that choice and how many have chosen each.
Yeah, we are. So we did a webinar last week, and I think we've tried to make it really clear that ultimately this is a very personal decision for people and whether they want to come back to campus or not. And we are not forcing anyone to come back or telling them to take one step or another at this point. We have told our faculty members that for the most part, every class, to the extent possible, should be delivered remotely if it can be. And there'll be a few options for purely in-person classes and a greater number for some kind of hybrid solution. But really, for the vast majority of students, if they want to have a remote environment for the fall, they'll be able to do that. And so, we are still, like I said, kind of about a month away from moving on for undergraduates, and for most of our graduate programs, again, about a month and a half away from the start of classes. And so we still don't know. It's one of the challenges we have in the planning is we just don't know exactly today who's planning to come and who's not. So far, we still think there's a lot of demand for students to come back to campus. They want to have an on-campus experience, even if that is a little bit different, but we don't know the exact numbers today.
Mayor Lori Lightfoot this pulled the plug on her hybrid plan with most students in the classroom 2 days a week and said that CPS will spend the first quarter at least in room learning. With coronavirus creeping up, she said parents simply did not feel safe sending their kids to school and that teachers didn't feel comfortable either. What makes a college campus any more safe? In fact, it would be less safe, wouldn't it, with everybody living there?
I think it's a slightly different population, obviously, than the K through 12. And from a parental perspective, obviously you're dealing with adults for the most part, over the age of 18. And so that child care issue becomes slightly less for the parents that I think of our student population. We, as I kind of mentioned, the majority of our classes are going to be remote. And where we have kind of in-person classes will be pretty limited. Those that we do have will be relatively low in actual kind of size, the size of an individual classroom or a course. So I think there is a desire for the other aspects of an in-person experience. It's not just about the classroom experience, but the broader kind of experience of being on campus and engaging, even again, if that is in a socially distant way. So I think we actually feel pretty comfortable with the precautions we can put into place, both in the classroom settings, in the residence halls, in our dining facilities, things like that, that can allow people to come where they need to in a healthy way. Obviously, it's a little bit harder to manage the off-campus aspect of things in that social environment, and I think that's where more of the concern is.
Illinois State University moved their classes online because it lacks the testing capability. What will be the testing like at Northwestern? Do you have the capacity? How quickly will you get the results?
Yeah, we're still finalizing all the details on our testing plan and our testing strategy. We plan to publish that out next week, but we will require students that are coming to campus for in-person activities to be tested as they arrive. And then before they come into the classroom space, and then there will be kind of recurring testing through the quarter that will look different depending on what type of student you are, whether you're an undergraduate kind of residential student versus an off-campus graduate student. The capacity is obviously countrywide, isn't where we'd like it to be, but we feel that we've got the capacity that we need to execute on our testing strategy. As it kind of exists today, we're partnering closely with our clinical partners at Northwestern Medicine to deliver a lot of our testing infrastructure on campus.
And the turnaround time?
It'll vary. I think we've been running tests on campus for the last few months through our student health center, again, in partnership with our hospital partners, and seeing turnaround times between 12 and 24 hours for the vast majority of those, with some going, maybe 2 days or something like that. So we're not experiencing the multiple week delays that we're hearing on some of the national labs. But again, this can also change quickly as the supply chain issues, obviously impact various labs. But at the moment, we're getting pretty good turnaround time on this.
Now, I've read some of your documents and the instructions you've sent to students and to the instructors. They are really dizzying in their detail. The fall quarter will begin with a two-week wildcat wellness period. Students will be required to follow a modified quarantine similar to Governor J.B. Pritzker's stay-at-home order from September 6th to the 20th. How do you police that among college students who love to congregate and party? It's part of the whole college experience.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we've really seen, I think for the most part, our community come together on this since day one of the pandemic. And I think the vast majority of people take it really seriously. And in an academic setting, they understand the implications of all this. So, I think this period, obviously, when you look at it, again, it's easier to manage and enforce when you look at your undergraduate on-campus population. So you can do things in the residence halls to kind of create this. And obviously, some of you've read our documents on some of these things. you know, we are not going to do any Northwestern on-campus programming, in-person programming during that time. So we're not going to create any reason for people to congregate on our campus. We'll be able to enforce things in the residence halls. We'll have set times when people might be able to go pick up their books or go get a wild card or whatever it might be. We are asking, obviously, our off-campus population to take this seriously as well and to abide by the spirit of it, because, again, really what we're trying to do is create a safe environment, a healthy environment to start off the quarter. And we know there's concerns about people traveling from all over the country into one location. And our strong opinion that is, if we can get everyone here, allow things to kind of cool off for a period of time before we really start up in earnest, that will go a long way in kind of helping the quarter start off well. So, again, I think there are some people, obviously, that they don't love the idea of this. You know, it's not the people's favorite way to start the quarter, but I think the vast majority of people understand why we're trying to do it. And I think we're cautiously optimistic about, the participation we'll see.
What about the frat houses and the sororities and the rush and all that stuff?
So they'll be, they are kind of in our buildings for the most part, right? So are in the middle of campus. And so again, there, the fraternities and sororities will be working with our residential life team to coordinate move-in and what policies around dining and things like that that can exist in this Wildcat wellness period. So we're expecting them to participate just like everyone else. And we did a webinar town hall for our campus community earlier this week, on health and safety. And we will have kind of conduct processes that go alongside this. And again, we're hoping to not use a heavy stick on this stuff, but we really just want people to do the right thing. But if we're seeing certain segments of our population not participate in the way we would, we would enforce conduct protocols from there. But fraternities and sororities in many ways will be treated like our residence halls during this period.
Your materials warn of disciplinary action against students who refuse to adhere to the guidelines, and including separation from the university. What behaviors could trigger that kind of nuclear option?
So I think it'll vary. And just like just like those conduct processes do in normal times, the specifics of events will dictate the likely outcomes from a conduct perspective. We're not going to suspend someone for forgetting to wear a mask when they walk out of their building in a day, right? We'll find ways to reinforce that good behavior and remind people what they need to do. And again, everyone's learning and there will be mistakes as we go through it. But I think if there are very direct, intentional actions that put the broader health and safety of our community at risk, that's when you would see things escalate from a conduct perspective.
Like throwing a kegger that could be a super spreader event, something like that?
Like fostering an event that is very clearly outside the bounds of our guidelines, our policies, and our expectations, and doing so kind of knowingly and willingly. Those are the scenarios, obviously, that people are worried about. And we need everyone to be part of the same team as we go forward on a successful quarter.
Now, your materials say that classrooms and labs and learning spaces will look different. How?
So they'll look a lot less dense from a basic perspective. So when we tried to implement social distancing in the classrooms and in the labs to a lesser degree, but in the classrooms, typically we saw a reduction in capacity, generally about a third of what normal times might be. And so if you had a classroom that could sit 100 students in a socially distant environment, it's probably going to sit between 25 and 30 students. And so we've taken that step. We've removed seating from rooms, or where we couldn't remove it, we've not kind of marked off certain seats that they're not to be used. And so classrooms will just feel a lot less dense. The protocols in between classes, there will be more time. Hallways will be one directional. And so that whole, it'll just feel a little bit different in that administrative and academic space on campus. Obviously, you know, there will be much more visual and frequent cleaning protocols. And when you walk into a classroom, you'll pick up your wipes and you'll wash your hands and you'll pick up your wipes. You can wipe down your personal seating area. And so some classrooms, depending on the layout, may have additional kind of initial precautions in there, such as like a plexiglass area or something like that. And that won't be in each and every classroom. Again, everything's a little bit different. It depends on airflow and size and the age of the building. And so it'll absolutely feel different than it has in the past.
What is the cost of all this to the university? How much money do you spend on all these protocols and cleaning devices and so on? And how much did Northwestern lose during the spring shutdown?
So we haven't, we're still obviously working towards the fall. And when you factor in all the things that we're talking about, testing, cleaning, infrastructure improvements, whatever it may be, there will be a significant expense to deliver that experience. And again, that we haven't finalized that number yet, but it's not immaterial. For the fall or for the spring quarter, we've obviously posted some information publicly, and we've alluded to a revenue downfall. The actual expense associated with the current fiscal year, kind of the spring quarter and summer quarter, hasn't been as significant. It was more about, the revenue associated with closing the residence halls or something like that. But when you look at the fall, there will be, the testing is expensive. There's no two ways about it. Running hourly cleaning in certain areas is expensive, but those I think we see as just the baseline of things we have to do if we want to bring people back and create the environment that's the right one to bring them back to.
Did you offer tuition breaks or refund room and board? And shouldn't somebody who has a remote experience only get a tuition break?
So we have not, we did refund room and board in the spring quarter for the students that need to leave the residence halls. For the fall quarter, we've not announced at this time any tuition discounts. I think we and our faculty have spent an amazing amount of time trying to deliver an experience that is strong academically, regardless of the modality that you take a class. And that's been, I think, one of our core principles as we've gotten closer to the fall here is, there are some students that don't have an option. They have to take a remote course. International students are an example that might not be able to get back into the country. And there are others that won't want to for their own personal reasons, or the courses that they might want to take or need to take this year will only be offered remotely. And so we've really said we want that experience academically to be just as strong, and it's the same course material and the same educational outcomes. And so, that's where we've been so far on the tuition question. Obviously, at this stage, we're still planning to bring students back to campus. And again, if things change over the coming weeks, we'll obviously reevaluate everything that we're doing.
But some parents may decide it's not worth it to spend $60,000 or $70,000 a year for remote learning for their son or daughter. Are you concerned about losing students to community colleges or kids taking a gap year? Was there a fall off in applications compared to pre-pandemic levels because of all that?
Again, I think there's personal decisions that people make for their own individual reasons. At a high level, I would say we have not seen significant changes in enrollment. In our application pools have continued to be very strong. And so at this time, it does not appear to be kind of significant melt from an academic enrollment perspective. Obviously, every program's a little bit different when you look at the university holistically. But again, I think there is a still strong demand. And our president has done a few interviews on this topic as well. And I think, the alternatives that are out there right now aren't overly strong as well. When you look at, maybe in the past, what you might do during a gap year, travel internationally, have an internship experience, whatever it might be. And obviously, a lot of those experiences aren't available. So far, I would say enrollment has held up just as we more or less would have expected it to. We are still, as I said earlier, still trying to figure out exactly who's going to come to campus next month. But at this moment, we haven't seen significant drop off.
But how do you justify charging the same for less?
Well, I think we would say that we're not providing something less. I think the academic experience, our faculty members, when you look back at the spring, really, had to change things overnight, right? And move to, within really 2 weeks, build a full remote curriculum without the vast majority of them, without having done that before. And our academic results, our feedback from our academic surveys, we call evaluations, were actually just as strong as they'd ever been, and in some ways better. And so, with the additional 3 months here over the summer to fully prepare, I mean, obviously, we've been saying that we strongly want an in-person experience where we can have it, but it's been clear that entire time that a significant portion of our classes would likely be remote. And so I think we feel actually that our academic delivery, even for those remote classes, will be even stronger than last year in the fall. And so again, the amount of time that our faculty members, the academic departments have put into delivering a curriculum, it's pretty amazing when you think about trying to turn again the whole model upside down. So far I would say that the feedback from last year was better than anyone expected, and I think we feel even stronger about what we're able to deliver this year.
What about dorm life? I remember double rooms, bathrooms down the hall, dining halls that where people lined up to eat early. How do you make that safe?
It's going to be, again, it'll be one of those things I think that feels different. So we moved into kind of the default is a single room with the option for students to opt into a double if they feel comfortable or if they have someone they have a personal relationship with and they feel comfortable living with. And so the exact numbers, again, are still yet to be determined as people finalize their decisions. But we saw, as noticeable as me, just as much interest in doubles as in singles. And so we'll have a mix of doubles and singles on campus, nothing bigger than that. So it will be much less dense in the residence halls than it would have been in the past. And things like common areas and lounges and the congregation space obviously will be changed from a social distancing perspective. So the social environment in the residence halls is going to look and feel different. There will be protocols when you map out kind of the number of students on a floor, doubles versus singles. Obviously, we're mapping that to the number of restrooms on the floors and making sure that we're not exceeding certain internal targets that we've set on these things. And again, the cleaning frequency in the residence hall bathroom, is kind of obviously higher than it's ever been. We'll try to create that environment that best creates a healthy situation for students to move into. I think we've said in our most recent set of messaging, obviously masks aren't required in individual rooms, but for the most part, everywhere else in the residence halls, you'll be expected to wear a mask and, you'll be expected to be socially distanced. And so it'll feel different. It won't be potentially quite the same experience, but we think that we've been able to do enough from a density perspective and kind of the operational changes to create that healthy environment.
Masks everywhere except your room and no guests in the room. Good luck trying to police that with college students.
These are the open issues, right? The open questions is kind of how seriously do students take this, and how much do you have to enforce versus how much good behavior happens somewhat naturally, and how much have people become in tune with it over the summer? And so I think obviously a residence hall environment is one that you can control a little bit better than obviously an off-campus apartment or something like that. And so we'll see. We had students that stayed on campus through the spring quarter because they couldn't leave. And then we had some over the summer as well. And we have some students in the residence halls today as kind of some early start activity. And actually I think the participation, the compliance has been pretty good. I think again, the idea of putting on your mask when you leave your room or when you're going to leave your house in the morning is becoming second nature to some people. And again, for the most part, we're seeing people take it seriously and pay attention.
You're returning to standard grading. What's the thinking there?
I think this is one that I don't know that I can give you the best answer on it. It's a little out of my bailiwick as a non-academic, but I think there was a strong desire to, again, get back to normalcy where we can, and grading is part of that. And I think this is another area where it's impossible to get to a one-size-fits-all kind of to make everyone happy. I think there's a significant segment of the population that wants to be back on letter grading. There are impacts. Letter grades have impacts on graduate school admissions, and there were some concerns about moving to pass-fail in the past. And so, again, the goal is, while this will be a different academic year, there will be some things that should feel still, like the normal kind of academic program. So, again, there's probably more there that's a little, again, outside of my knowledge space, but I think the strong desire, the majority desire kind of across campus is to get back to letter grades.
I think I brought a couple of trunks of stuff to school my first year. You were asking students to bring lemon personal items in the event there is a need to, as you put it, de-densify during fall quarter. What does that mean, and what would trigger it?
Yeah, so it could mean a couple different things, but obviously there's, as all of us are learning every day in our lives, there's just a degree of nimbleness and flexibility that's required right now, and part of that is going to be living in residence halls. And so obviously from a worst case scenario, if things continue to trend across the country, or if there's some specific event here in Chicago or unique to Northwestern, there's always the chance that we have to pivot back and move students out of the residence hall like we did in the spring quarter. Obviously, we're hoping to not have to do that, but that is an option, and that is part of the impetus for saying, pack lightly, because there's a chance that we may need to empty the residence halls at some point in time. On top of that, as we know, there's the chance that some students can get sick, or they could be identified via contact tracing and need to move into quarantine space for a period of time. And so I think just from a logistics perspective, staying flexible, staying nimble, the quarter is already truncated. As you kind of said, we're going to end the quarter by Thanksgiving. It's a relatively short period of time. And so we're hoping, again, that people come light, bring what they need, obviously, but be prepared in the event things need to change.
Are you talking about a backpack?
No, hopefully more than a backpack. They could have a few bags. Again, this isn't going to be something we're going to have strict weight limits or something like that when you get on an airplane. But again, I think the goal is just to be to create an environment that makes it as easy as possible to make changes if and when we would need to. And as we saw in the spring, when none of us had any preparation for this, we had students that had a lot of their personal items and things that they may have wanted or needed that were stuck in a residence hall room, for a few months, and they couldn't get back to Chicago to get access to it. And you have to figure out, how do we either store this for the summer or ship it to them? And again, I think we're hoping to avoid any of that. There'll be some of it. Obviously, you can't get everything in two backpacks, but again, we're just hoping to stay light this year going into it.
What happens to students who test positive?
So they would go into kind of our case management protocol, our positive case management protocol, which obviously we follow very closely the CDC guidelines and guidance from our public health partners. And so for the most part, if you're positive, that means you're self-isolating, just like the CDC says, through the gating criteria, whether that be the fixed period of time or the extended period with kind of symptom clearance. And so they'll obviously be expected to do that. It varies a little bit if you're an on-campus student or if you're an off-campus student. So if you live on campus, we have reserved space for kind of isolation and quarantine. And so you'd be moved into that space and, again, meals provided and daily health checks and things like that. If you're off-campus, those students will primarily self-isolate at home. And again, similar daily health and well-being checks just to make sure that medically they're okay. But we've had a little bit of experience with this. We've had some students move in and out of quarantine or isolation space over the last 4 or 5 months. It's complicated. There's a lot of logistics and moving pieces to it, but again, it's something that we've started to get used to. So the good news is the vast majority, I think all of our students that have been either suspected to be positive or actually positive, the medical implications are relatively low for them, have been relatively low for them. I think they generally are asymptomatic or have very light kind of cold or flu symptoms. They feel okay. It's a very boring period of time, sitting in a room for 2 weeks and, again, taking your classes remotely or playing video games or whatever it might be. But at least they kind of medically, they do okay. I think the other piece to it that we're cognizant of is the mental health aspect. And that's not just if you're in quarantine or isolation space, but just more generally, if we bring students back in the fall, it's difficult. It's difficult for all of us. And it's just one more thing we're sensitive to.
What will the dining halls be like? Strictly grab and go?
It'll be a mix. There will be a significant grab and go component. There will be some ability to eat in tent type space, kind of in a socially distanced manner. So the density will be much lower than your traditional dining hall. There won't be things like the open buffet, like you may remember, and you go in and kind of pick up your own food and put it onto a tray or something. It will be more of, prepackaged opportunities or, order ahead, pick up, and then, go to your designated space.
And the gorgeous fitness center on the lakefront, will that be open?
Fitness center will be open. It, again, like everything else, will look a little bit different in areas like that. We're closely following the guidance from the city on the city and the public health department, just in terms of what gyms and exercise facilities should look like. But it'll be open. There will be some opportunity there for people to get physical exercise, obviously, throughout the quarter.
Luke Figueroa, Senior Associate VP and Chief Risk and Compliance Officer for Northwestern, I wish you the very best of luck managing this very complicated transition to campus life. Nothing like my college experience.
Thank you, Fran. Appreciate it. And you should at some point this quarter, take a stop in over on campus once we have visitors up and running again and take a look and see what it looks like.
Okay. See you all next week.